Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
So this summer we're in a series on the Holy Spirit, and today I want to actually teach you something. I think what we're going to look at today and what you're going to hear today will sound very new to many of you. Like you maybe it's something that you hadn't heard before. And so I want to show you something about how Jesus did the things that he did and how we're enabled to do the same things that he did by the same means that he did, namely through the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take a look at that today, and I think I want to show you what I think are pretty exciting things. And I want to go to Luke chapter 11 to show you how this works. Now, we're not going to have this text on the screen. We're going to have some other text on the screen a little bit later on. And many of the texts that I'm using today are on the back of your insert, and so you'll be able to take a look at those back there. But in Luke 11, you can look it up in your Bible, or you can use the Pew Bible, or you can just listen to this. This is a story about one of the occurrences in the ministry of Jesus. And what you're going to hear is you're going to hear people asking the question, "How did he do that? How did he do that?" And I would submit to you that was a question that would often be asked during the ministry of Jesus. How did he do that? And it's an important question for us to understand how he did what he did, because that's how we will do the things that he would have us do. So here we are. We're in Luke chapter 11, and it's in verse 14. And it's like just arriving on the scene here. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he's driving out demons." Okay, you see, they're answering the question. Like, they're asking the question, how did he do that? Here's a man who's mute. Here's a man who's demon-possessed. Jesus comes along, frees him from the demon, gives him the gift of speech. And they're watching this, and they're saying, like, how did he do that? How did he do that? And some of them have an answer. Now, we learn later on in Matthew and in Mark, when they tell the same story, that it's some of the Jewish authorities, they've got the answer to this question about how he's doing it. So they said, it's by Beelzebub that he's driving out demons. That's their answer to the question. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub." So the answer to the question, how did he do that? Like, that answer makes no sense at all. Then he says, "Now if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out?" Which is like, they don't. "So then they will be your judges. But," verse 20, "but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Now when Jesus says, "If I drive out demons by the finger of God," that's Luke's metaphor here for the Spirit. Matthew and Mark both tell this same story, and the words that they have in Jesus' mouth are, "If by the Spirit of God I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So what I want you to get today is that everything that Jesus did, all of the miracles that he did, all of the healings that he did, bringing people back to life, giving people back their legs, giving people back their sight, giving people back their hearing, all of the miracles that he did, everything that Jesus did, he did not do by virtue of the fact that he was God in the flesh, even though he was God in the flesh, even though he was God the Son, even though he was the second person of the Trinity. Everything he did by the Spirit of God that was in him. So I'm going to show you how this works. Every once in a while, people have this this little fanciful notion that they want to consider about whether or not Jesus did miracles when he was a boy. So, like, do you think Jesus did miracles as a boy? Like, I don't want you to raise your hand, but you know, some people would say yes, you can just circle it. Or some people would say no, or you can just circle it. There are stories, like, and I mean like fanciful stories told about how when Jesus was a boy, like maybe he would pick up a stone and throw it up in the air, and whew, it became a bird. Like, oh, come on. Really? Like, do you think that actually happened? The answer to the question, did Jesus do miracles as a boy, is not yes or we don't know. The answer is no. Jesus did not, and it's not no, we don't know of any, or it's not no, we're not sure. It's just no. And we know that it's no. Let me show you how. I'll show you how we know that. So here's the passage we want to put up on the screen. This is in Philippians 2. This is one of the most important texts in all of the New Testament for understanding the nature of Christ. So in verse 6, speaking of Jesus, who being in very nature God. All right, so let's get that solid in our minds right now. Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's God the Son. He's co-eternal with the Father. Okay, who being in very nature God, Jesus is God in the flesh, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or something to cling to, something to hang on to. Instead, verse 7, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Okay, so this phrase in verse 7, he made himself nothing. The Greek word in there is the word kenosis. This is in your insert. It's the word kenosis. And this is a really important theological word in the New Testament. Kenosis is, it's the great emptying. The great emptying. So I want you to picture it like this. Picture, here is God the Father, God the Son, co-eternal, equal with one another. And it's time to work the plan of salvation. And so God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Son, it's time for you to be sent. In the sending, Jesus, in the very nature of God, didn't cling to his godness. Instead, before he leaves the Father's side, before he leaves heaven, he empties himself. He empties himself of his deity. He's still God, but he empties himself of his deity. He empties himself of all his God power. He empties himself of all his God privilege. He empties himself of all his God prerogatives and takes on human likeness, takes on the nature of a servant. So he leaves that all aside in heaven. He takes off, he wears this mantle of glory, he wears this mantle of deity, but before he leaves heaven to be born of Mary the Virgin, he takes off this mantle of deity and lays it aside. So that when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, I just want to take you on this tour in Luke to show you how Jesus he's the Spirit-filled human. He's the Spirit-filled man. Starts out in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, The angel Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary, and like he declares to her, hey, you're the one, you're going to bear the Messiah, he's going to be the Son of God. And Mary says, well, I don't know how that's going to happen, because I'm a virgin. And the angel Gabriel says, right, this is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the child to be born to you will be holy and will be called the Son of God. So right away, Jesus is the man conceived by the Spirit. We say that in the Apostles' Creed, right? He's conceived by the Spirit. After he's conceived by the Spirit, we have this 30 years of virtually nothing, but it only takes up about two chapters in Luke. And the next time we see Jesus, he's on the banks of the Jordan River, where his cousin John the Baptist is baptizing people. And Jesus comes to be baptized by John. John says, you know what, you ought to be baptized in me. Jesus, you know, let it be like this just for now. And so John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. He goes down in the water, comes up. And when that happens, simultaneously with that, in that moment, the Bible says the heavens open up and something like a dove falls down upon him. And it's the Holy Spirit. It says, when all the people were baptized, Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. The heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. So Jesus is the man first conceived by the Spirit, and then Jesus is the man baptized by the Spirit. And the very next thing that happens, he's baptized in the Spirit, and then in Luke 4:1, the very next thing that happens is Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. So he's baptized in the Spirit, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he moves out from the Jordan, and then he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, here's something really good for us to catch on to here. Sometimes we have this experience where we know we're flooded with the Holy Spirit and we're following the Holy Spirit's leading, but then we begin to doubt ourselves. Then we begin to wonder, because it feels like where he's led us is into this wilderness place, into this dry place, into this place where we just feel hungry. And that's exactly what the Spirit did with Jesus. Like, he's baptized with the Spirit. He's full of the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit to where? To the wilderness, where he fasts for 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, he fasts and prays, I should say, for 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, he's tempted by the devil, and he resists that temptation. He beats the devil. And so at the end of that, in Luke 4, he comes out of the wilderness, it says in verse 4:14, in the power of the Spirit. So he's full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit. He has the power of the Spirit. And when he has the power of the Spirit, it says he goes out back into Galilee. He teaches from place to place. He goes from synagogue to synagogue. Now, the synagogues are the Jewish places of learning. So they would meet there on the Sabbath, and they would learn. And Jesus starts this synagogue tour. He's going from synagogue to synagogue. And I said in the first service, and I think this is right, he's like a rookie rabbi, all right? And he's starting to make a name for himself. And he comes into Nazareth. That's his hometown. He's like a hometown hero. He's kind of on the rise. And so they invite him to read the day's scripture and to give the day's message. And so he opens the scroll to Isaiah 61, which would have been the reading for the day. That's just the way that would have worked. He opens the scroll to Isaiah 61, which, like I said, just, oh, by the way, happens to be the reading for the day. And he reads this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. Jesus is anointed by the Spirit. He's anointed. Anointing is always for ministry. So anytime you see the word anointing, you have to attach it to ministry. Anointing is for ministry. Whether it's in the Old Testament, where people are anointed with oil, or in the New Testament, where people are anointed with the Spirit. So this is the ministry that Jesus is anointed for. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then my favorite thing about this text, it should be yours too. Like, this is the only recorded event where the scripture lesson is longer than the sermon. Jesus closes the Bible, rolls the scroll up, hands it back, sits down, it's a position of teaching, and gives the sermon, which is one sentence long. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. Jesus is anointed by the Spirit. He leaves the synagogue, and he goes about his ministry. He teaches others how to do ministry. So like in Luke 10, you have him sending out 72 of his followers, and he gives them the authority and the power to do certain kinds of ministry, and they come back and say, what do you know? It worked. And the Bible says he rejoiced in the Spirit. You know, there's something there about our worship that we need to talk about sometime. He rejoiced in the Spirit. Can I just say, some people think you need to sing the right songs to worship. You don't. You need to have the right spirit to worship. And then you can sing any song you want. He rejoiced in the Spirit. In the Spirit. All right. And then to our text that we read at the beginning of the message in Luke 11, he drove out demons by the Spirit. If by the finger of God I drive out demons, or as Matthew and Mark say, by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And then in Acts 1, like he, in this last appearance with his disciples, still the writings of Luke, in Acts 1 it says that he was giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. So he taught by the Spirit. So look, just in this short tour of Luke, what we see is that everything that Jesus did, he did not by means of being the second person of the Trinity, even though he was. He did the things he did not because he was the Son of God. He did everything that he did by virtue of being the Spirit-born, Spirit-baptized, Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-led, Spirit-anointed man. That's who he was. And then, the Bible says, he ascended into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and received from the Father and passed on to us that same Spirit. That same Spirit. We can do the things that Jesus did. I'm not God. You don't need to be God. Jesus didn't do the things he did because he was God, even though he was. He did the things he did because he was the man of the Spirit, living in a Spirit-filled life, enabled by the Spirit. He did the things he did, and we can do the things he did, because that same Spirit is available to us. First, to be born of the Spirit. Look, like if you're not a Christian, you just need to stop right there. Because like you're not getting any of this until you get this. To be born of the Spirit. That's what Jesus was talking about when he had this conversation with Nicodemus. Like if Nicodemus could have done it himself, if he could have saved himself, he'd be saved. Because everything he could do in the flesh, he did in the flesh. Everything he could do in his own strength, he did in his own strength. But still he knew that the kingdom of God was not in him and he was not in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You have to be born from above. You have to be born of the Spirit. And so if you're not a Christian, what this means is like you have this new life that is generated in you. The Spirit comes in you and you are reborn. Your Spirit is given life in Jesus. So like you just recognize that right away. Like I'm still living out of my flesh. I'm still living out of my own strength. I need to be born again. I need to be born of the Spirit. And then when you're born of the Spirit, then we're Spirit baptized and Spirit filled and Spirit led and Spirit anointed? Like, it kind of begs the question, doesn't it? If we have the Spirit that enabled Jesus to do the things he did, why aren't we doing the things that Jesus did? Why don't we see ourselves bringing good news to the poor? Why don't we see ourselves proclaiming release to the captives and giving recovery of sight to the blind and letting the oppressed go free and proclaiming the year of God's favor, not God's judgment, proclaiming the year of God's favor? Why aren't we seeing ourselves deliver people from demonic oppression? Why aren't we seeing ourselves giving clear teaching and instruction from God's word? Why aren't we experiencing this being led by the Spirit and moving in the power of the Spirit on a daily basis? Why aren't we rejoicing in the Spirit continually? Because this was the experience of Jesus, and it can be our experience as well, because he gives us the very same Spirit that was in him. We don't have to be empty. We don't have to be dry. We don't have to be powerless. It might just be that even as a Christian, or it might just be that even as a church, we're operating in our own flesh. We're trying to operate in our own strength. And we can't do what Jesus did, because Jesus didn't even do it in his own flesh and in his own strength. He did it in the Spirit. We sang a song earlier this morning. Where the line was, it's not my weight to bear. What song was that? Yeah. So we sang this song, it's not my weight to bear. When we sang that line, I just started praying that over and over and over again. Because sometimes I feel like I am trying to carry a weight myself, whether it's in the ministry of the church or whether it's in my own life. We don't need to do it on our own. We don't need to bear the weight ourselves. We don't need to do it ourselves. We do it in the strength and in the power and in the leading of the Spirit. So let's pray. So while you pray, I want to ask you to be honest before God and to open yourselves up before God. I'm pretty confident that some of you have heard something you've never heard before, and you had trouble making it fit with what you thought you understood before. But I want you to know that this is the clear teaching of Scripture. So I want you to take this word from God and ask God to help you grasp and to embrace its truth. And I only invite you to do that so that you can experience and know what God is very pleased to give you to experience and know. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Spirit. We thank you for the example we have in Jesus, who put himself in this position where he too would have to rely on the Spirit to do the things you ask him to do. God, I pray that for those who are here today that are not Spirit-born,
I don't know what it is as yet for to see their own spirit brought to life through your spirit. I pray that even in this very moment, as they ask you, that they might know the rebirth of the Spirit in them. And for those of us who know what it is to be reborn in your Spirit, God, I pray that in your Spirit you would baptize us and you would fill us and you would lead us and you would empower us and you would anoint us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at tfreechurch.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T Free Church.